Okay, I'm here to talk to you about TypeScript and React. I'm a software engineer at Equal Experts, a little bit down the road from here. And tweet as you like. The hashtag is MSOSCamp. And before I begin, for most of my career and most of my life, Microsoft has always been seen like the enemy of open source. Now they're hosting an open source event, and my mind is still blown, right? Any of you JavaScript developers? Who's a JavaScript developer? Raise your hand. Okay. So you've probably seen this, right? You've probably not loved it much. And I'm here with good news because types are here to help. And specifically, I'm going to talk about types in React, but a little bit about JavaScript in general, too. So if you develop in React, by the way, show of hands who uses React. Okay, React has something called prop types. This comes as a out of the box from the framework, from the library. It's built into React. It type checks at runtime. So as components get instantiated, types are checked. And it's usually recommended that you disable them in production because they take a slice out of your component's performance. Unfortunately, it's for React components only, so these don't bleed over onto the rest of the language. The rest of the language is untyped, as you probably know. So this is an example of a component that uses prop types. So you declare your component class, for instance, and then you add a little property called prop types where you declare the property names and their types and whether they're required or not. There's also flow. And this is something that Facebook created. It's a type checking utility. You run it from the command line, usually built into some NPM script. It supports prop types out of the box too. But you also get to annotate the rest of the language, the rest of JavaScript with types. So all your variable assignments, all your classes, they get some extra features. And they're stripped out by Babel on when you're transpiling code back to JavaScript. So this is an example. So instead of adding a prop types object, you can create a props type like that, and you declare a name, and you say that it's a string or a number or something. And when you run the type checking utility, it highlights errors when you do something that's not correct. So instead of name, if you put something there, you'd get an error. And there's TypeScript. And TypeScript is not a utility, it's an actual programming language. It's a superset of ECMAScript 2015 and 16. So it includes everything that JavaScript has plus types. And it compiles to plain old JavaScript, so it runs on every browser out there. And it does its type checking at compile time. So as it's compiling, it throws errors or lets you know that everything is fine. And as an example, it's not very different from Flow. It's actually very similar, even the way you declare types. There's an alternate way you can declare interfaces for classes in TypeScript. And it's not very different. So if you know some Flow, you can just jump into TypeScript without learning that much. So TypeScript, in particular, you get everything that JavaScript has. Even the cool new features like async await, you get that. You get generators. You even get decorators, which are still an experimental feature, but it's being worked into TypeScript as well. So you're not missing out on anything if you use TypeScript. And of course, JSX is supported too. We're talking about React, right? As TSX. So instead of calling your JSX file, just change the extension. So what types are supported? You've got the basic stuff, your booleans, your numbers, your strings. You can have arrays of any other type. They act as generics. You have the void types, like void, null, and undefined. You have a never type. And never type, you usually assign it to the return of a function to make sure that that function never returns. And if you do something that, like calling a function after that function, it'll get you'll get you an error because the never is supposed to never end. And the compiler will know if it does. You can combine types or do a sort of diff of those types with union and intersection types. You have optional types, nullable types. You have interfaces for classes, and this is an example. So you have here is a type intersection. You can combine two different types into one at the end. And classes, too, they get a little extra new stuff, like encapsulation. You can declare methods and properties as private and public, which you still can't do in JavaScript, even though you have classes. You can have static methods and static properties. You can declare interfaces and also mixins. So this is an example. The constructor will take this name, which is a string, and immediately add it as a private property to the class. And you don't have to declare it elsewhere. And also modules. So here's a question, because most modules out there on NPM and Yarn are written in plain old JavaScript. And they aren't typed. They don't include type annotations. So what do you do? Well, TypeScript supports, there's this organization on NPM that includes types for most modules out there. So if you need to add types to React, you install the add types slash React or whatever other module you have, and it will add type annotations for the libraries that you import, the third-party libraries. And these types are provided by something called the Definitely Type Project, which is like a community repository where people can add types to third-party modules. So even if it's missing, you can write your own type definitions and add it to this repository, and it becomes available through this through this pseudo model. So okay, React in TypeScript. So how would you write a component in TypeScript? I've already shown you an example, but I'd like to dig in a little bit deeper with some examples. So I'm going to bring up Visual Studio Code, which is pretty cool. And I've declared an interface called HelloProps here with a name property that's a string. And in my class, I say that the component uses this property definition as HelloProps. This, by the way, this is a state object, so you can declare typings for the state too, for the component state. And when you're actually writing out your props, your editor will know, your IDE will know what sort of stuff they contain. So if I do a dot here, it'll know that this is a name and it is a string. It won't give you any other autocomplete features like stuff that isn't compatible with the function you're calling or the component you're calling. It'll always give you something that's relevant to the stuff that you're writing right now. And it won't give you properties that don't exist. So if I were to, say, call a function here, that would take a number and return, say, a string or something. And I were to do something like this, like calling my function with a property, this prop. If I did this, I would get an error because my function takes a number, not a string. So the IDE itself will tell you you're doing something wrong. Okay. You can also declare, great, I broke the presentation, okay. You can also declare functional components. Functional components, which are pretty much like the ones in JavaScript, except the props, they take the interface directly instead of as a generic for the component class. And this is an example. Again, you get the same auto-completion features. And if you add something here, like, say, age, which is a number, you'll get the new option, too. So you could add age here. And this doesn't exist, so it gets an error. OK. Now, if you use React, you probably use something like Redux along with it. There's some pretty cool stuff that you can do with types here. It's not very friendly. I'll give you something else here. So if you're using Redux, you can use actions, Redux actions, via TypeScript. So what I did here was create a new action type that extends from a string. And this is a little trick that would allow us to declare a new action with a type, which is a string, but it's also an action type that contains a generic P. And this P is the payload format. So whatever you're injecting via that action is typed. And that's what we're saying right here. So we're saying that payload is of type P. It's something. It's whatever you give it. But it adheres to this type. And then you make an action creator, which takes a payload and returns an action of type P. And this is the action creator itself. It's, you know, pretty basic. It returns a regular action, which is an object with a type property, which is an action type, and a payload, which is of type P. And then there's this little guard function, which we're going to use in the reducer to make sure that whatever action we're using handling at the moment is of the correct type. And this is our functions in action. So we create a new action called greet. We declare the payload type, which is a simple object with a name, which is a string. And then we give it the constant, which is the string itself. And because it inherits from the string object, we're allowed to do this. And then we create the action itself via our action creator. And when we dispatch it, we call the action creator, we give it the payload object we want, and it will type check this. So if we give it a payload that's not valid, say, give it an age, it'll throw an error. It'll tell you that this is not what I'm expecting. I'm actually expecting a name. And you get this in the autocomplete too. And if you give it something that's not a string, it will also give you an error. So and in the reducer, it takes the state, it takes the action with any payload, which is the any type that we have here. And then we check for a specific action type. So if the action type is greet, then we can handle the action as with the correct payload. And again, we get type checking working here. So when you start writing, you get the payload and the type. And when you complete the payload, you get whatever the payload has. So it won't take anything that's not exactly what you need or have. And for the reducers too, you can have immutable state without requiring any libraries, any third-party libraries. You don't need immutable JS, you don't need anything. You just need to add these little annotations, read-only annotations, to the objects you're handling. And TypeScript will make sure that you will not mutate that object. So again, another example. So I have a search state interface here. This defines what the redux state looks like. It has an error object, it has an isLoading flag, and it has a results array. And as we are handling that state in the Redux reducer, TypeScript, because we have these little annotations here, these read-only annotations, will throw an error if you try to delete one of the properties, or change one of the properties directly, or try to use a mutation method in the case of this array. So if I were to remove this read-only from here, you'd be able to do a push on the array. But because we're declaring it with a special type, this comes from TypeScript itself. So if you declare it with a read-only array, you'll get an error. You won't be able to push. So you're actually forced by the language to create a new object instead of mutating the one you have, because you need immutable objects for Redux. Okay, so you wrote your application in TypeScript. How do you build it? So for the client side, you use, well, that's what we use. It's not the only option, but it's one we recommend. We use Webpack. And there's something, there's a loader called Awesome TypeScript Loader, which has a bunch of features in addition to the loader that existed before. Specifically, it adds a compiler cache. It does the type checking in parallel as it builds the project. So it converts the JavaScript on one process and does all the type checking on a different process. It speeds up things. And also, it optionally integrates Babel without you having to do any extra configuration. So if you want to do any extra transformations via Babel. As for the server, builds are usually done via the TypeScript compiler utility, which is TSC. But you can also import TypeScript modules directly into your own JavaScript code, and it will recognize your TS and TSX files. If you require the TS node register module into your node application. Also a note on Babel. For the moment, you still need to integrate Babel into your TypeScript builds if you use generators. So if you use Redux with something like Redux Saga, which uses generators, you have to use Babel, at least until TypeScript 2.3 arrives in May. At that point, generators will be supported by the compiler itself without requiring any third-party tools. So, assuming you're all excited about TypeScript and having types in your applications, how do you get your existing JavaScript app into this new language and start using this all these type features and auto-completion goodness? As I mentioned before, that TypeScript was a JavaScript superset, that everything that JavaScript has is supported by TypeScript. And this means that you can compile JavaScript as if it were JavaScript, as if it were TypeScript, without changing anything. You have to relax a few compilers options so you don't get errors, but you'll be able to take your JavaScript application and run it through the TypeScript compiler, and it will work the same. And this means you'll be able to take your application module by module, and even parts of modules, and write them in TypeScript, and then migrate them as you go. You don't have to do an all or nothing approach to this. It helps to check if all your external dependencies are supported on definitely type, if you have typing definitions, so that you're able to use all the types from, say, React or whatever third-party module you're using. You can also use something like a ReSharper by JetBrains supports JavaScript migration to TypeScript. It does it partially. It knows a few patterns that it's able to convert and annotate your legacy code, JavaScript code, to TypeScript. And as you complete your work, then it's recommended that you turn on the stricter compiler settings, so that you get errors telling you that, oh, you forgot to annotate this function or this variable with the type. So what do I recommend here? There's a compiler flag called no implicit any. And if you're doing JavaScript, TypeScript, and you're starting out a new project with this, I recommend you to have it on all the time, because not having types on anything, it's kind of defeats the purpose of having a typed language. So make sure that every variable and every function you use is typed. So what TypeScript does when a type can be inferred, say you're importing a module that's not recognized or something, it automatically annotates that module with any. And when you have an any type, you can do anything with it. And that includes, you know, doing something like undefined is not a function. So definitely have this flag on. Another one is strict null checks, because you want to disallow values and properties from having null or void values unexpectedly. So again, you don't get all those undefined is not a function errors. You can tell the compiler to allow null and undefined on specific values still, if you definitely want that. And as for linters, there's TSLint. It's done by, I believe, Palantir. It performs static code analysis like other linters. It works for TypeScript specifically. It's customizable like ESLint or something. And it's got pretty good default rules. The only thing we do is, you know, disallow semicolons, but that's a touchy topic. And as you're doing TypeScript, let TypeScript do its thing. Type inference works pretty well. So don't bother typing local variables unless you have to. So if you do a string assignment, TypeScript knows that variable is going to be a string. You don't need to annotate it. If you have a let, though, it's probably a good idea, because you don't want further assignments to give it different values. Also, always add types to a function arguments and return types, because this works like documentation, and also it prevents errors like you forgetting to return a specific value. And finally, this is a matter of readability. You can do union types like in the top function, but it's more readable if you simply overload the function and create several definitions for the same function. So okay, we've been working on our project with TypeScript for I believe 6 months now, and we've come to a few things that are not so nice about the language. And the number one is when a third-party module doesn't have type definitions. So we go to definitely typed, and either those type definitions don't exist, or they're out of date, or they're simply wrong. And that's a bit of a pain in the neck. You can contribute to the definitely typed project, and you're encouraged to. And that's what we've done on a number of modules that we're missing, that we needed. And if you don't want to, or if you don't have time to, you can always import those modules as any. You don't get any of the type checking goodness, but you're still able to use the module. Another issue that we have, because we have unit tests constantly running, is compilation time. And it's a little annoying, because there's always a bit between us saving the file and tests running. There's always a couple of seconds, because we have 800 tests running every time we save a file. There are a few ways around it. We can do incremental builds and only build the files that change. Also, something like Jest, if you know the testing framework, Jest, by Facebook. It does something like only running tests for the files that you actually change. So it speeds up things a bit. And the other thing that's not so nice about TypeScript, is actually not a problem with TypeScript, but it's still JavaScript coming out at the other end. So when you're running this in, say, a browser, it doesn't do any type checking, because type checking is only done at compilation time. So if you're getting weird results from an API or something, it's not going to check any of those types. And you don't get any of the performance boost that you would get from a usual regular strongly typed language. Okay, finally, why bother with types? So types will help you catch common errors. So if you mistakenly assign a value to an attribute or a variable that doesn't take it, you'll get a warning. If you assign null to a variable that shouldn't take it, you get a warning. And you get these warnings immediately, like on the IDE itself. It speeds up things considerably because you don't have to compile the code. You don't even have to write tests for that code, because you know, those type of assertions will already catch you, catch your mistakes. Also, function signatures act like documentation, so you know exactly, and you get this on the IDE too, as you're writing, as you're calling a function, you know exactly what arguments that function takes and what type those arguments should be. And when you're auto-completing there, you get something that's specific to what you're writing and context sensitive. And that's it. So I have four rubber duckies for the first four people to ask me a question. So any questions?
Do you have stickers?
I don't have stickers, but I have rubber duck.
Create a new object, clone a new object. You said you don't need any external libraries.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand.
For the immutability.
Yeah, to create like a clone of an object, you don't need like.
You don't. But there's immutable JS, say for to ensure that you adhere to those rules, right?
I understood that we have those types that make you like not change the object.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand like when you said that we don't need those. External, if you want to clone an object.
You don't need those. You can just create a new object on the site, and that's you can do that with plain old JavaScript, but you don't get any checking.
Okay.
You don't get any validation on that. So if you, for some reason, you mistakenly created, say you do an object assign, and you create a deeply nested object, and you create a clone, but you forget that object assign only clones your the first level of your object and not the one the deeper ones.
It guarantees you that you're not gonna make any mistakes because you want to make them always immutable and that the
And TypeScript will be able to catch that for you without you having to use something like immutable JS or something.
JavaScript itself, building against, you test the transpiled JavaScript.
We test using TypeScript too. We write our tests in TypeScript too.
Ah, you write your tests in TypeScript?
Yes.
Also, you don't need to be...
You're not writing in two different languages. You're using TypeScript everywhere. And JS supports TypeScript too if you want to use JS. Actually, most libraries will support TypeScript. Even if you don't, I mentioned something here. So if you do a, you can use TS Node and you use import TS Node register on your test framework. And you are able to use TypeScript even if the framework doesn't support it out of the box. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Question?
At some point on your presentation, you said that if we don't put a type on your variable, that it's going to be any type, right?
It depends. TypeScript will try to infer those types.
Side effects we have with those kind of problems.
There's no issue with performance because it gets compiled to JavaScript and you get the performance of regular JavaScript. So that's not going to... The problem with the AnyType is that from the point that you have an AnyType, you don't get any type checking at all. So you don't get any of the validation or the auto-completion. It just behaves like regular JavaScript. And if you're using any type, then there's no point in using type languages because you're not taking advantage of any of it. Can you catch it?
Yeah. I know you have no more dogs, but I have a question.
Okay.
I'm interested about the TypeScript, but to be honest, I'm not buying it. If you were a seller and you have to actually give the three key features that TypeScript will offer to the developer that means an advantage for him, mm-hmm. what would you say that are the three main reasons to use it?
And the only reasons for using TypeScript is actually developer experience, because you get auto-completion, you get type check.
I think I can add one to that.
Yeah.
Because for me, I have to answer that question to my colleagues at the work. And for me, is that you write in TypeScript today, and as JavaScript and ECMAScript will evolve, you can just set your transpiler to those ECMA 5 and ECMA 6 and whatever comes next, and you will always get the benefits of the new things JavaScript will have without rewriting your JavaScript.
But don't you feel you have to learn a second language on top of JavaScript? You miss on some fundamental constructs.
It's not all that different from JavaScript.
I know that. But for new people coming mm-hmm. onto the JavaScript scene, I feel, and I agree with my colleague. I feel that you're missing on an adventure for all good things and bad things that come with it.
I'm not
advocating TypeScript. I get that reasoning
also with mm-hmm. people that comes from C++ right. back from when they go to Java or C Sharp. They're always saying, hey, I missed the point, or I want to be in control.
Right.
So I'm used to say to all the new guys that comes to my company is learn the basics. It's like math, and then use the calculator.
Yeah, I agree. Rubber that for you.
But that's right. Actually, when you're doing some actual work for a client, I kind of don't want the adventure because I don't want code to break on the server, especially after I think that everything's okay. But most of the benefits actually come from developer experience, right? So as you're working, you get autocomplete, and you don't have to write tests for type checking because the compiler will actually do all that work for you. And you don't miss anything that's in JavaScript, because TypeScript includes all the features of JavaScript plus some.
What are like the unit tests for TypeScript? Because most of the unit tests are basically checking input and output in functions.
Yeah, but you don't need to test check for types.
What do you test then?
Oh, you still test you test logic, right? You still have to test that, but. Yeah.
Make sure you're getting the
proper. Unless, of course, you're dealing with an API that will give you something in runtime, which you can't check because TypeScript only works on compile time. That's the only limitation that you have. So if there's an API that's suddenly returning an object instead of a string, you have to check for that when you're writing your tests. But other than that, yeah.
While I'm just in points on why TypeScript can be useful, it is true that you have to write a lot more. And with that, your IDE is your best friend, is it mm-hmm. autocomplete and all that kind of stuff. I do use VS Code and WebStorm, but do you have any info of how other IDEs support TypeScript, not a completion, all kind of stuff to make your developer experience better?
Atom works pretty well, too. There's a TypeScript module for a plugin for Atom, and it works pretty great. The reason we use VS Code is because TypeScript is built in, and there's also a few other, there's a few pretty great plugins for VS Code, like you're writing a function that's not imported, and it knows, it searches your project for that function or something, and you automatically import it. That's pretty useful. You don't have to look around for it. It adds the import statements at the top of the file. In?
In Power BI, in the visualization.
I wouldn't know.
I'm pretty sure I'm right there, but how is it accepted worldwide? Is it actually very used?
Well, it's not used as much as ECMAScript and JavaScript, obviously. But there was a developer survey recently released, front-end developer survey. And TypeScript is actually gaining a lot of momentum at the point. I don't have any specific numbers here.
I can add one also to that to help you. Angular 2 and forward is written on TypeScript. And the first time Google developers and Microsoft developers were on stage together was on presenting Angular
2,
TypeScript.
Yes.
TypeScript. So Google has been one of the biggest companies behind it. They left all their transpilers when they came to do TypeScript recently. And Angular, sorry.
Yeah, and because TypeScript is a mature language, it's on version 2.2, I think. It's getting benefits from that say something like Flow, which is pretty good, but it's still not as mature as TypeScript is. So TypeScript's getting a lot of adoption because of Angular, yes, and also on its own, not attached to any specific library or framework. Any more questions? I think that's it. Okay, thank you.